8:07 as we enter the third hour of Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Dalton Warwick and Kelly Finley in with you. Sean Sullivan will be back soon. 61 degrees outside of the FM Talk 106.5 studios. And if you got your eyes on the radar, you can see the bands slowly moving from the west towards us. It's going to bring a lot of rain later today and the remainder of the week and into the weekend. Flash flood watch begins at noon today, so that rain will be pulling up.
And you know that affects so many of your own personal honey-do lists. I know we have family who they were painting a house, and so they got to hurry up because once that rain comes in, nothing's getting done.
And I've been the worst this year because, so Danny Lipford, you might know his show. It's right on here.
I've heard of him.
Tips. Mm-hmm. Well, we have the tips for today's homeowner, but Danny Lipford's Today's Homeowner, which airs on the weekend here at FM Talk 106.5, they actually have a really, really cool website, todayshomeowner.com. Mm-hmm. And each season, you can download a PDF. It's a sheet that says, you know, if you start fixing these things at this time of the season, you'll just have the perfect home all the way through. So at the end of fall, I got that. And all the to-do list things like finish up, you know, the yard work as you go into winter where you don't need to cut as much. Go ahead and trim the hedges and bushes.
Yes.
Drain the water heater. You know, caulk the cracks around your house. All of these things. And I have been sitting with that finish this in fall to-do list for the last 3 weeks, and I keep pushing it off and pushing it off. So the rain is not going to help me this week.
Well, it will help the grass to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all about silver linings and positive perspective.
You are the best at that.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
Keeping it positive. I know we have New Year's coming up. Lots of people planning to head out and celebrate either at a friend's house, at their own house, or one of the many celebrations we have here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Before you do that, you want to head over to Cottage Hill Package Store at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest because their selection is truly, it'll make your brain explode. If it's the first time you've stepped in there, you're like, holy cow, has this been here the whole time? They have everything you could possibly want. If you're just at home watching bowl games or if you're heading out to celebrate, they have all of the great new craft beer. They have all your favorite traditional beers, the domestics that we all know and love. They also have a humongous humidor just full of cigars and their very own tobacconist, Billy, who will lead you to the right cigar for whoever you're buying for. But importantly, for New Year's, you want to get that champagne. You can get all that at Cottage Hill Package. They're at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, the best selection and the most fun corner in town.
And they're really great to just talk to. I mean, you can tell them. I know I went in there and purchased something from my then fiance because I want to do something special, but I didn't even know where to begin because I'm not a beer drinker. And so they said, okay, well, tell us some of the things he likes, the types of fruits that he likes, and what type of meal are you thinking? And they were able to match us with something I would have never, ever chosen. But it was a hit.
And it's especially helpful, with craft beer because you don't know. I mean, they come up with so many new craft beers all the time, and you want to try them all, kind of like Pokemon, got to catch them all, got to drink them all. They'll lead you to, if you tell them kind of your taste, what you like, what you've had before, they'll tell you what you might like that you haven't tried before. But for me, most importantly, wine, because I'm not knowledgeable when it comes to wine, and I want to pair wine with the right food and learn more about it. You ask them, you tell them, hey, I'm putting steaks on the grill tonight. What would be good? Or I'm eating some fish tonight. What kind of wine would pair with that? Cottage Hill, they'll hook you up. They're the best in town. As we kind of wrap up Christmas, there's been some great stories rolling in now that Christmas has ended and we head into the new year, and I love stories about good people and good deeds that were done. And there's a great story here about an anonymous donor who walked by. I'm sure you saw them this Christmas season, the Salvation Army Red Kettles, where they have the people ringing the bells, and getting money for Salvation Army. They had an anonymous donor that dropped 3 solid gold Mexican pesos worth a total of $3,600 in one of these Salvation Army kettles.
Mucho gusto.
Yeah, it happened on Friday in Fort Lauderdale outside of a Walmart. Said it's not the first time that the Salvation Army received the gift of gold. The Director of Development for the Salvation Army of Broward County, Elise Gossman, she told the South Florida Sun Sentinel that whoever this benevolent person was is believed to have made similarly lucrative kettle drops in Broward County over the past 5 years. Before this year, last year they found 3 more of these gold coins, and the year before that, 5 of them, and each of them came in one at a time. So this person goes by and drops one in at a time, and you wonder, how do they know that this was the same person? Maybe it's different people dropping these off. Well, whoever it is put each gold coin neatly wrapped in a dollar bill before dropping it in the kettle. Gossman said in prior years, the coins came in earlier in the month. This time around, when they didn't come in, we thought that maybe something had happened to the donor. They were worried. And then Saturday morning, after checking the kettle from Friday, they found the three gold coins. She said, we'd like to thank the anonymous donor or donors who are keeping this new charitable tradition close to their heart. And if you didn't know, these funds that go to the Salvation Army are used to fund local food, shelter, and social service programs. One resident posted on the Salvation Army's Facebook page, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It really is. A good deed done by someone in Broward County. And then you got the family pranks that people like to play on the elderly or their parents and the family. And this has been going around on Twitter over the last couple days. There's a singer from Scotland, Judy Brown, and she started posting this Twitter thread over the holiday on this prank that she's been playing over the last couple years.
Is she Judy Brown, the comedian?
It says she's a Scottish singer. I had not heard of her before this.
Okay. There's a comedian.
maybe it is. She is a comedian. I don't think she is the same comedian, okay. but she might as well be a comedian after this genius prank.
Uh-huh.
And so she started posting this Twitter thread over the weekend, and she said, I've done something ingenious to wind up my dad, which she adds is basically my favorite holiday pastime. She said, it begins like this. Last year, I decided to play the... Okay, so she takes this box of Ferrero Rocher chocolates. Do you know what those...
I do.
The chocolates that are wrapped in the gold foil?
Yes, I do.
And they're kind of like in this egg carton looking thing.
I received one this year from someone.
And it's my wife's favorite chocolate.
Is it?
She loves Ferrero Rocher. And maybe it's Judy Brown's dad's favorite chocolate also, but she played a very mean prank. She took this box of Ferrero Rocher chocolates and initially... The first time she played this prank, she took all of the chocolates out of the gold foil wrapping and instead placed Brussels sprouts where the chocolate used to be. That prank worked out well 2 years ago, and now she said she's playing the long game. Last year, she said she did not tamper with the chocolate and because her dad wouldn't touch any of the chocolates. this year, she said her dad came home for Christmas. She said, with the devil at my elbow, I embarked on my most audacious sprout prank yet. She said, while he was out, I dipped the sprouts in chocolate, rolled them in chopped hazelnuts, and did everything she could to replicate the iconic Ferrero Rochers.
Oh, my goodness.
She rewrapped them, resealed the box with its original tape and a tiny dab of glue. I mean, a ton of preparation went into this.
Right.
And then she wrapped it, put it among the bag of tasty gifts she said that her aunt brought for the family last night, which would have been Christmas Eve. She said he viewed them with suspicion when they came out of the bag, but she was out all the rest of the day. How could he have tampered? How could she have tampered with the chocolate if she was gone the entire day? He stayed away from them because of the pranks played before. And then they sat in the kitchen all night. Christmas morning, he decided he couldn't have enough. He likes to have a post-breakfast Ferrero, she says. So he approached. She waited in the kitchen, careful not to spook her father. Lo and behold, he opened them, examined them, unwrapped them, looked at them even a little bit closer, and then deciding that they were actually Ferrero Rocher chocolates, popped the entire chocolate, or what he thought was chocolate, into his mouth. She says his face played a symphony of emotions. Satisfaction, triumph, smugness, consternation, confusion, realization, then horror, and disgust. The prank went on one more year.
Anywhere in that article for the first prank or this prank, does it say if they were raw Brussels sprouts or if they were cooked?
Well, she's got a bag of the sprouts like you would buy at the vegetable section of your local grocery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she cooked them. I think she just threw them in there raw after putting chocolate around them and chopped hazelnuts. You know, one time I thought that I had a Sprite. When I was a kid, I thought I got a Sprite from the vending from the Coke machine, and it was a water.
Right.
And from then on, I didn't drink Sprite for a few years because I was so shocked by the water that I got instead.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I would ever eat a chocolate again if I bit into it and it was instead Brussels sprouts. So congrats to Judy Brown, a great prank, and giving tons of Americans on this side plenty of ideas for their next Christmas prank. 8:16 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. We're coming back. We'll wrap up this third hour on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:21 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. invite you to check out FMTalk1065.com for our three big things. If you head over, you'll read about Wall Street yesterday having its best day maybe ever in a holiday rebound. You had U.S. market snapping a four-day losing streak and their best day in more than 10 years. Wall Street Journal says investors were reassured by an official signal that President Trump, who's heavily criticized the Fed on Twitter, that he will not try to oust Chairman Jerome Powell. The broad S&P 500 index soared 5% yesterday up to 2,467.70. Dow Jones Industrial added over 1,000 points. That's its biggest point gain in a day, 5% up to 22,878. NASDAQ Composite also picked up about 5.8%. And holiday sales, they're saying, might be the reason behind that, or one of the many reasons, because it was they're reporting that U.S. holiday sales were at a six-year high. Retail sales gained 5.1% between November 1st and December 24th.
And I think with the president throwing his support publicly behind the Fed chair, that makes a difference too, because prior to that, you'd been hearing kind of back and forth about his displeasure with Steve Mnuchin and what has been happening and his role that he has. And so I think that when you have the commander-in-chief confirm that he is 100% behind someone, and that someone has to do with, you know, stock markets and money and the economy, it bolsters those numbers in a positive way.
And if there's one thing that drives the markets crazy, it's uncertainty. Whether
you're not kidding.
Who's going to be leading, or what kind of, you know, trade rules are currently in place. So it's great to see the market bounce back yesterday. And while the market was bouncing back, President was in Air Force One traveling to Iraq, where he visited soldiers. It was his first visit since becoming president to visit troops that are in harm's way. And he went to Iraq yesterday and then made a stop at the Ramstein Base.
Ramstein.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a metal band called Ramstein from Germany. And
That's not really a name that most would be familiar with.
So yeah.
It looks one way, but sounds another.
So
like many words.
He made the visit to Iraq and then went to the base in Germany and then landed back in America this morning.
He went to Ramstein and they fueled up there. And one of the, because I was able to kind of dip in and out of the news coverage throughout the his travels. And it was interesting because I never realized this, but he pointed out that First Lady Melania Trump, that she's the first lady to be in an austere environment like that in a war zone.
Mm.
I'd never even realized that. And so he described what it was like to have to fly in with no lights on, because obviously there's a huge safety issue when, you know, you not only have the commander-in-chief, but you have the first lady on one plane. So just talking about that from a safety standpoint, that he seemed, as I think as most people would be, very much concerned about their safety, getting there and then talking to the troops and wishing them Merry Christmas. And it's always good for the troops to see that.
Certainly. And, you know, as the reports were kind of rolling in yesterday about this surprise trip, and they were saying that the lights were out in the plane and the windows drawn down, I was wondering, I wasn't even thinking of the safety issues. I was thinking, why are they reporting this? He's probably sleeping. He probably wanted the lights out to go to sleep, but it all makes sense with trying to keep the president safe.
And what happens is they embargo news, which means that, because it's no coincidence that there are cameras that are rolling. So the media knows about you know, these movements, but they're not allowed to say it until an agreed upon time, because that's for the safety of the president and his family and his team. And then also for those who are the troops that are on the ground, you know, in the sandbox, as they say. So it's good that he made it there safely and made it back. But quick turnaround of a trip. But he's still tweeting.
That's what I was going to say. So he started tweeting immediately when he got back. I guess tweets wait for no man.
Well, he probably slept on the way back.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet there's some cozy digs in Air Force One to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the third big thing, if you're just getting back into town, or if you're, you know, have a lot of trash from the holiday, reminder, in Mobile, there was no trash pickup on Christmas Day. So if your trash day is on Tuesday and you missed December 25th, that next trash pickup will be on January 8th. And then, of course, this coming Tuesday, New Year's Day, they also won't do trash pickup. The makeup day for that trash route will be on January the 6th. And also, the places you can drop off Christmas trees, which Kelly's been keeping us updated this morning, you can find that on FMTalk1065.com. And while you're there, you might as well go ahead and vote in the 2018 Alabamian of the Year contest. We're kind of wrapping it up. We're in the second round right now, and we'll wrap this up going into the new year. We will know the 100%, you can't argue against it, the Alabamian of the Year. FM Talk is the only one who's allowed to officially say who the Alabamian of the Year is, and it's up to you voting. And right now, we've begun the second round voting. There's going to be two heats in the second round. Top four vote getters out of the eight nominees each time will move into the next round. And right now, some pretty strong contenders, and they're all getting tons of votes. You can add your vote, see who you want. The Baldwin County Rabid Foxes, they're on the list. Justin Billa and the Justin Billa Foundation, he is the Mobile police officer who was killed in the line of duty early in 2018. The Mobile City Council and Mayor Sandy Stimson drama, you could vote for that if you feel like that was the biggest story of 2018 in Alabama. Governor Kay Ivey, she's on the list. Also, the Alabama State Lottery debate, which I'm sure we have not heard the end of. It's going to go very strong here in 2019. We'll hear a lot about that. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions is on the list. The opioid crisis, which former Attorney General Sessions was doing a lot to combat while he was in office. And then sewage overflows, which was on the 2017 Alabamian of the Year list. It's on the 2018. I'm sure it'll be on the 2019. I'd rather it not. But with all this rain moving into the area, hopefully we don't have more sewage overflows, but, you know, history repeats itself.
Well, and I was going to say, if you're new to the website, if you're looking at fmtalk1065.com, you look to the right underneath the sign for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And what's really cool is that when you do vote, because, of course, and as it says there, the top four vote getters move into the next round. But once you vote, then you can see the percentage of each person in that category. So if you're kind of wondering, like, I know I'm picking the winner, well, everybody may or may not agree with you. So as it stands in the lead right now, the Foxes, 19%.
They have a pretty strong pack that's behind them. Nice. Whoever's putting money into the Fox campaign, they're doing a great job.
I thought you meant like P-A-C-K. No, but that was a nice play on words.
Thank you. It was completely unintentional. And tomorrow we'll start the end of the second round voting and eight more great nominees that you can start voting on tomorrow. And the next week we'll be down to eight and we'll move our way through.
You've done such a fantastic job with this. Let me just congratulate you because you work very hard to put these brackets together, and it's motivating.
Well, the hardest part was, and it's all the listeners out there who gave us some great nominees. Mm-hmm. The only hard part for me was going back because there were so many entries, going back and finding the entries and then putting them in one bracket so we can vote on them. But I love doing this every year. It's the second year we've done this, and it will be a mainstay on FM Talk. You know, as we're in bowl season, I'm a huge football fan. Yesterday was an insane day when it comes to bowl games. You might have heard at the beginning in Westwood One News, the ServPro First Responder Bowl. So I was kind of checking in on that as I was doing work around the station yesterday. And I watched Boston College take a 7-0 lead over Boise State. And then I saw they were in a weather delay. And I was like, oh, great. I'll be able to get home and watch the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I get home and find out they'd actually canceled the game. This was the first time that a bowl game has been called off because of weather. That Boston College was up 7-0 with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. They went into a weather delay because of lightning strikes. That delay lasted about 1.5 hours. And then after that, they completely called the game. Yeah. Now, there has been a bowl game or a postseason game canceled before. Back in 1941, evidently, after the Pearl Harbor attack, Hawaii was set to play a bowl game. They canceled that bowl game.
I did not know that until you told us this morning.
I didn't know it until I was reading about it yesterday. And Hawaii canceled the bowl game then. And then yesterday, this was the first one canceled because of weather. But only two bowl games have ever been canceled, and one was yesterday. And then last night, I was watching the final bowl game of the day, TCU playing against California. TCU beat them in overtime 10-7. But if you've watched football, this was the worst game for quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. The TCU quarterback, with 1 minute to go in the fourth quarter, had 9 yards passing and 4 interceptions thrown.
Man, the quarterbacks they did not eat their Wheaties.
They didn't. The quarterbacks on the Cal side didn't do any better. They threw 5 of their own. There was one point in the first half where there were 5 interceptions thrown in like 3 minutes.
This sounds like the toilet bowl.
It was the toilet bowl. It was bad.
That's a 3-on-3 basketball.
And I know Boston College and Boise, they're going to get refunds to their fans for the game that was canceled. I implore TCU and Cal to also give refunds to their fans and everyone that had to watch the game on ESPN last night like me. Such a bad game. Tomorrow, Auburn takes on Purdue in the Music City Bowl. I can promise you that will be a much better game. Kickoff is at 12:30. Airtime begins at 9:30 right here on FM Talk. Coming back, we'll talk with Rob Hulbert, new issue of Lagniappe on stands. Find out what you can expect. Boing, 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 boing 836 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, man. I am doing fantastic. Hopefully everyone out there stays out of the bad weather today, but I do encourage them to head over to McConnell Automotive if they get the chance, because you guys have some great end-of-year sales going on right now.
Don't we really do, buddy? And, you know, the thing that we love the most is kind of trying to save people three things, which is the hassle of car shopping, and then, you know, time and ultimately money. And right now, Dalton, these deals that we have are the absolute best rebates of the year from General Motors. And, you know, as a dealer, we're motivated. See, we can liquidate inventory and even take some losses on some things. We even have a couple of 17 models left, three of them. And what we're basically doing, Dalton, is we're kind of throwing the idea of making a profit out the door. And what that means on a Sierra truck, as a quick example, is over $13,500, $13,000 savings off the sticker price. And a lot of dealers add some money and then discount. They kind of trick you. But McConnell, when we give you a discount, we really mean it. And Dalton, we've got over $10,000 off the Yukons. And what I really want everybody to do is don't miss these deals. They got to act really fast the last few days for the end of the year. And Dalton, we always tell everybody the easiest place to shop at our dealership is just go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and people are literally going to be blown away by the savings.
That's right. Well, we appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great one.
Dalton, I'll have a great day, buddy.
All right. That's Mitch McConnell, and you want to go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. Kelly, earlier we were talking about this great basketball tournament that's coming up, and I think it starts very, very soon.
In an hour.
In an hour,
yep.
Okay. So
the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic, tip off 9:30 a.m. And you know the cool thing about a station like this, when you're locally owned, you get to locally pump up the volume when it comes to talent and education and just all the great people that we have in the community. So I found this one from a news standpoint, and I meant to mention a little earlier. My apologies, everyone. But, yeah, tip off 9:30 a.m. I've tweeted this at Kelly K2K Finley. What happens is the best teams, there's 16 teams that are going, you know, to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so between today until the 29th, they say that they have 16 teams with Division One prospects, and this is the revival of the Sertoma. So,
yeah, and if you want to go watch some great basketball, you do need to head out there, and maybe you'll get to meet the one and only Kelly Finley.
Wrong. That's not about me. It's Corey LeBounty. He's calling games again. I know we've called him. My husband and I have called him as well. But it's really cool because, I mean, we're talking local teams. Today at tip-off, Theodore takes on BC Rain, and then Faith Academy versus Spanish Fort, BT Washington against Crescent City, and then Daphne versus Williamson. And then they just go on, of course, how we know how championship brackets go. So it's just great to see local talent and cheer them on doing something that's productive and positive and fun, and you can bring the family. They have a concession stand there, so we have had dinner there before. But I just wanted to say, it's at Bishop State, so if you like more information, they do have a website. You can definitely check them out. The website is GulfCoastHolidayClassic.com.
Yeah, those kids are ballers. Nothing like the Clark Prep team I started for my senior year, where I got dunked on constantly. All right, well, now it's time. Since it's Thursday, we talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. I've got a new edition out on the stands everywhere with a bottle of champagne being popped open to bring in the New Year's. Yep. Good morning, Rob.
Got all your good New Year's Eve stuff in it, so you know, letting you know what to do on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, there's plenty to check out. Moon Pie Drop, Sister Sledge coming to town.
That's right, yeah. We've got that. Even advice on how to dodge falling bullets. That's a joke.
That is not.
We're not going to shoot
funny.
In the air this year, are we, Mobile? We're not going to do that.
No, that's the New Year's New Year resolution.
This year we're taking a break from
that's
it.
Your PSA for today.
I have two offices I've been in, and you know, in my 16 years with Lanyap that have had holes in the roof from falling bullets.
No way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's insane.
We've moved into our new office last year, almost a year ago, and shortly afterwards, it was flooding one day. I came in there, the water was pouring through the roof, and it was because a bullet had fallen and hit the skylight.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you tend to find that this happens New Year's and 4th of July, or just more New Year's?
This was actually a Mardi Gras. So there's Mardi Gras bullets in there as well. So, yeah.
What is wrong with people? Do they not know they come back down?
There's a gravitational issue here. We're not teaching gravity in school.
Probably a lot of flat earthers out there shooting in the air.
Yeah, we're just not teaching gravity enough.
Well, I really enjoyed your Damn the Torpedoes this week, because you're talking about something that I talk about often, and that's the emergence of autonomous cars, not needing to actually drive. The car drives you. Explain to people kind of what you were talking about. I really enjoyed you were mentioning how it's kind of changing the way teenagers grow up a little bit.
Well, I'm fixated on it, you know, Dalton, because I have a son who I'm probably taking to get his driver's license today or tomorrow. He turned 16 this past weekend. He's all over me about it. So I was hoping these driverless cars would be here sooner. I wouldn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But, you know, I think we're headed that way, you know, and it's just kind of interesting to think about when you're what it was like growing up with, you know, the car means a lot. You know, obviously, a 16-year-old, you know, they're clamoring for it. It's freedom. It's the big deal to them, you know. But it's going to take something away from us when we finally do have these driverless cars, although I'm kind of ready for it. I'm okay with it.
I am, too. And you said you were hoping that the autonomous cars would be here by the time your son turns 16. I've got a daughter on the way in March. Do you think in 16 years they'll be here?
Yeah, she'll never drive.
Okay, that's great news for me.
Really, you're in good shape. I think I'm probably going to have to deal with two kids who are driving around.
But. Oh, man.
We've got three of them, so I understand.
a really interesting take you had was with, you know, archaeologists are out at the base of where the I-10 Mobile River Bridge will be, because they've begun destruction on 9 of the buildings right there near Virginia Street. But you're saying, like, what's the point? If we're going to have autonomous cars anyway, we don't really have to worry about people breaking in the Bankhead anyway.
I guess, you know, that was just one of my thoughts on this, is like, you know, are we going to get finished with the bridge and it's not going to necessarily be necessary, because it's not going to be necessary because it's all being run by computers. It's probably overly optimistic, in my opinion, but it's just a thought, you know, how long is the bridge going to be really necessary if everything's being run by computers and we're not supposed to have people honking in the tunnel anymore, or driving a truck that's too big into the tunnel, you know, but computers won't do that, right?
No, I would hope
there'll be no more rubbernecking when there's a wreck on the side of the road or a broken down car on the side of the road. Nobody will stop and just look at it. So traffic jams will go away from that standpoint.
Another big story that you can read about in Lanyap this week, the Alabama Ethics Commission finding that Attorney General Steve Marshall did not violate campaign finance laws. Tell us a little bit more about this, Rob.
Well, this is an interesting one. It kind of slipped in before the holiday, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't see it. You know, so the Attorney General accepted $550,000 from a political action committee called RAGA, our Republican Attorney General's Association. So they handed him $750,000 during the election. His opponent, Troy King, filed an ethics complaint against him, saying that was a violation of the state's PAC-to-PAC transfer law, that the state has outlawed taking PAC-to-PAC donations. So basically the gist of that is people give to PACs, they give it to a political action committee. The money just kind of gets mixed around in there, and then a PAC gives to a PAC and then gives to a candidate, and you don't really see where the money's coming from anymore. And so what Marshall did was took money from RAGA, which accepts PAC-to-PAC transfers. RAGA also, I mean, any PAC that's doing business in Alabama has to register with Alabama, so they're registered in Alabama. But the Ethics Commission basically came back 3-2 and said there was insufficient evidence to take the case and assign it to a district attorney for potential indictment or prosecution on it. And you know, even the Ethics Commission director Tom Albritton said he advised that the commission issue an opinion on this to the Secretary of State about what they should do, and that they should not be allowing this kind of thing to happen. It's a real problem from the standpoint that it is really just all Marshall has done is provided a blueprint for how to avoid showing, you know, having transparency in donations. I mean, all you got to do now is give it to an out-of-state PAC, and they can just bounce it back into the state, and nobody can follow it.
There's a loophole for everything. Do you think
there's a loophole? And he showed. I mean, this is the head, you know, law enforcement guy in the state, and he showed everybody the loophole. And you know, in fact, in the story, they said, well, you know, he might be supportive of the legislature coming back and further strengthening of this to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen in the future.
Do you think this is the last that we'll hear of this, or do you think this will follow Steve Marshall around the rest of his political career?
I think it'll follow him around some. You know, I think it's a problem that if they don't take care of it, if the legislature doesn't do anything about it, basically what Marshall has done is showed everybody how to gut the state law. So, I mean, if they don't do something further about it, everybody out there who wants to avoid detection will just do it this way. And so the pack-to-pack transfer, the illegality of that in Alabama will be just completely neutered.
Well, before we let you go, as we enter the new year, I know everyone likes to make New Year's resolutions. Collectively, Lanyap, do you guys have a Lanyap New Year's resolution this year? What's going to change in 2019? What's big?
Oh, man. You know, I think the New Year's resolution for us is just to continue to try to be a good newspaper, continue to do good work, and I hope we do. You know, it's always a challenging job, as you know, in this business to stay current, to stay busy, and I hope that's what we're doing. You know, I know that sounds cheesy, but that's the way I feel about it.
And you got that new issue out on stands now. You got plenty of information about New Year's celebrations coming up. Where can people go to find those? Or if they want them delivered, they don't even have to head out.
No, that's right. If you want to go online, lanyapmobile.com, you can also sign up for home delivery for $1 a week, or you can just go pick us up at one of the 1,500 locations all around Mobile and Baldwin County. Look for those pink and purple boxes. They're out there. But, you know, watch out for falling bullets. You can stay inside and get one delivered for your house.
Good luck.
Happy New Year.
Y'all have a Happy New Year.
Yes,
okay?
Stay safe. Wear a helmet New Year's Eve night, just in case. All right, thanks, Rob. We'll check in with you next week. Rob Holbert, new issue of Lanyap on stands now. Coming back, we'll wrap up this third hour of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Let Sister Sledge take us into the break. Thanks, Kane. 853 on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew do great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you had a lot of family over for Christmas, and that was the point where you were like, oh no, what have I done? This is embarrassing. I need to clean up the house. Got too much junk everywhere. Been meaning to clean it up for a long time. Don't worry. You can get it done. Maybe it's your New Year's resolution. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey and the crew will be there. When you make your appointment, they show up exactly on time. I know I've called cable companies, all these other companies where they give me a 4 or 5 hour window. Actually, you know, I've had a lot of work done on my house, and sometimes you have to have people come in, lay carpet, do all these other things. You have to take off basically the entire day just to wait on someone to show up. It's not true with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You make your appointment, they show up exactly on time. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and the price you get quoted is the price that you'll pay. So one more time, to get a quote, set up your appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK or 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You know, I love studies that affirm something that I've believed for a long time, or maybe turn something that I thought was bad into something good. And this study is the best one I've heard in a long time. New study from the University of California, Irvine, found that people who drink moderate amounts of alcohol or coffee actually live longer than those who abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Found that people who were overweight in their 70s lived longer than underweight folks. I'm sure because once you're in your 70s, so many people are malnutritioned that it's actually better to be a healthy overweight, not a obese overweight, but a healthy overweight. They called it the 90 plus study. And they began it in 2003 with the goal of studying the oldest of old people, which they say is actually the fastest growing age group in the United States. They had more than 1,600 people enroll in this study. They wanted to find out what makes people live past the age of 90. So beginning in 2003, researchers visited the study participants every 6 months, performed neurological and neurophysiological tests and cognitive and physical tests. They used information about diet, activities, medical history, medications, and many other factors to help determine what helps people live past 90. And what they found was that people who drank moderate amounts of alcohol or coffee lived longer than those who abstained, maybe because of stress. They say stress is the big killer, and a moderate amount of one of those two or both will help bring down those stress levels. Over 40% of people age 90 and older suffer from dementia, while almost 80% are disabled. And they found that both are more common in women than men. And about half of people with dementia over the age of 90 do not have sufficient neuropathology in their brain to explain their cognitive loss. But the main point. Drinking moderate amounts of alcohol or coffee, you live longer than those who abstain. So pretty cool study out of the University of California, Irvine. And we've been talking about a lot of Christmas stories now that the holiday has passed, and they're kind of gathering all this, like the buying information. They found that holiday spending rose over 5% from November 1st through December 24th. And now a study that's not as important, and maybe you need some coffee or alcohol to get through this one, but Mariah Carey's 24-year-old Christmas classic, All I Want for Christmas Is You, set a new one-day streaming record on Spotify on Christmas Eve. If you have Spotify and you were listening to music on Christmas Eve, you more than likely listened to Mariah Carey's Christmas song. It begins to climb the Billboard charts earlier each and every year, and it reached its highest peak, number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart this year. And it actually helped the entire Christmas album that she released in 1994, Merry Christmas, spent its 4th week at number 1 on the Billboard's R&B albums chart. So I wonder how much money Mariah Carey has made over the years from that one song, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
She's a, you know, of all the things people may describe her as, she is a very smart businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every time that gets played,
and it, and works out for her also, because New Year's Eve, she ends up performing somewhere at some New Year's Eve celebration every year because of some of her other songs. But now she's made even more money on Spotify. All right, if you check out FMTalk1065.com, I implore you, vote in the 2018 Alabamian of the Year. Today's the final day of the second round first bracket voting. We have 8 nominees up. The top 4 vote-getters will move on into the third round, where we'll have only 8 names remaining. Baldwin County Rabid Foxes, Justin Billa and the Justin Billa Foundation, the Mobile City Council and Mayor Stimson Drama, Governor Kay Ivey, the Alabama State Lottery Debate, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the opioid crisis, and sewage overflows. Those are the current nominees for the biggest story in Alabama in 2018. And starting tomorrow, we'll have 8 more great nominees for you to vote on right at FMTalk1065.com. That does it for us on Mobile Mornings. Coming up, the Mike Gallagher Show, a new show here on FM Talk 106.5. Check it out. It's really awesome. I'm not just saying that. I've been listening to it all week. Really cool show. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
And you can keep up with us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We've got you covered with your news, your weather, your sports, and your fun.
Have a great day, everyone. Stay safe on those rainy roads.